Welcome back to A People's Guide to Publishing. I'm Joe Beal, the founder and CEO of Microcosm Publishing and Distribution. I'm also the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, which distills what I've learned from selling millions of books over the past 25 years.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the editorial and marketing director here at Microcosm. We are an independent midlist publisher based in Portland, Oregon. We have 14 employees, over 650 titles in print with 20 to 40 new books per year, and we distribute thousands of titles from other publishers.
We started this podcast so that we can share what we've learned with newer publishers so that you can learn from our mistakes.
Or perhaps you just want to better understand the publishing industry. So today we are going to talk about what metrics publishers should pay attention to, or, you know, can pay attention to if you want to. We don't want to tell you what you should do. Only you can tell you that.
Well, what I want you to do is what's right for you.
Ooh, that feels a little pushy.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Okay, so I guess I'll ask first by asking you, this is really a Joe question, the mathematician.
Mm-hmm.
What metrics do publishers pay attention to that are not as helpful, but are commonly obsessed over?
Number of awards won.
Oof.
Number of reviews achieved. I can't even tell you how many books we've had that, like, get hundreds of glowing reviews but can't sell 2,500 copies.
I know a lot of authors often look very closely, maybe even daily, at the metrics that Amazon gives them about their Amazon sales.
I don't even know anything about this.
You know, they give you a dashboard.
Oh, no.
Whether or not you're publishing through Amazon, even if you're publishing through, like, a big five house, you have a...
I'm just a self-published author, Ellie. I don't, like, know about Amazon. That's like a monopoly. That's, like, really weird.
Like, I've definitely had authors that work to us come to us and be like, I check my Amazon metrics every day and I'm really concerned, and I'm like, okay, this is not the metric to pay attention to.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, the daily is not a... I mean, it's a great way to get your cackles and your anxiety up. I mean, I don't...
Right. Yeah, I guess, like, any kind of thing that's happening in the course of any given day is probably not a good metric.
And that's kind of how, you know, I mean, I get these various sales charts and, you know, line graphs about, like, where our sales are versus where they were 90 days ago on a certain platform. And, you know, it's, like, interesting, but it's not... You know, unless you can turn it into actionable movement forward, it's not worth getting hung up on.
So you've kind of foreshadowed your answers to this.
Heavily.
But what metrics should publishers pay attention to? What metrics are fruitful for publishers to pay attention to?
Happiness.
Mm.
That's a big one people tend to neglect.
How do you measure that one?
How happy you are.
In units?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Happiness flavors. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Variety is key here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to look at, you know, turn rates.
What does that mean?
So if you're printing 5,000 copies of a book, or let's make it more reasonable, if you're printing 1,500 copies of a book and you're reprinting it every 3 weeks, that means that your turn rate is too fast. You know, so you should be printing more.
But if you're printing 5,000 and you're printing it every
35 years, then you're
printing
probably
not
too many.
Doing that.
You're going to be waiting a while for that reprint, I guess, is the issue here. So,
got to be in it for the long game.
So you really want to be looking at, and, you know, because this is one of the big things that I learned when researching and writing the book was that, you know, there are hard metrics for this, and you can hack them and use your own and do it the way you want to do it, but there's a reason, you know, and it's like any rule in life. Before you break the rule, you need to firmly master working within, understanding, and achieving the rule. You know, you don't want to just defy it because you can. You want to defy it because defying it makes more sense.
So, turn rates, what other good metrics for publishers to pay attention to?
So, yeah, people get more hung up on sales, whereas I would push you to look at your, like, what percentage of your sales are on your backlist, you know?
So backlist versus frontlist?
Yeah, so backlist being any books that came out prior to the current season. So, you really, and I can't stress this enough, the rule is, which you can break once you have mastered the rule and not before,
oh,
is that
yes, boss.
You want 60, ideally even more, percent of your sales to be from books that are prior to this season, you know, because otherwise it just means you're playing a very lopsided, dangerous, expensive lottery, you know, because since the book sales are returnable, if more than 30 to 40% of your sales are in your front list, they're not actually sold, you know, whereas when you sell backlist, those are much more guaranteed sales. You know, some of them are going to get returned, but it's going to be 3 to 5% versus, you know, you risk up to 95% on your front list sales. So, you know, it's just not apples to apples. You really want to, that's why you want to really focus so much of your effort on creating evergreen books that sell 2, 5, 10 years from now.
What are some other good metrics?
So that's the big one, if you haven't already guessed.
Backlist to frontlist. Mm-hmm. You heard it here.
And so, you know, another one is really like your expenses, like the expense to income ratio. Mm-hmm. So you really mm-hmm. want to look at, you know, because it can feel really good when you see all this money coming in and then you don't really think about what proportion of that is just going right back out the door, and maybe what's going out the door is more than what's coming in. And looking at the schedules for doing that, you know, I've fallen prey to this where I'm like, oh wow, we have so much money, and then it's like we actually owe more money than we have because of just how those schedules work out. So if you plan ahead, you can solve all of those problems, you know, with paying people and paying authors and paying printers and things like that.
I'm trying to think of other situations where we use metrics, like, on kind of like a, where we don't always look at that metric. I guess Google Analytics is one where they give you so much data, but we only really use it ever to, like, solve a problem or answer a question.
But that's what you use metrics for.
Yeah, totally. I guess some of those questions are more ongoing. Like, I use Google Analytics in, like, more of an emergency sense. Like, right. We haven't gotten an order in 10 hours. That's weird.
Right. And you don't, yeah. Or, so that's the, sort of the way to do it, is not to put your effort into analytics or metrics when you're panicking. Right. It's the same reason, like, your Amazon dashboard is a bad use of your time.
Right. You know? It's more like you want to use it to make a plan and look at the big picture rather than the ins and outs.
Yeah.
It's like if you weigh yourself every day and you go up or down 2 pounds, that doesn't mean anything.
Right, yeah. That's just like margin of error fluctuation. Whereas, you know, you want to look at like a monthly summary. You know, you want to see where your key times are. You want to see when things are happening. You want to see when people are engaged with what you're doing. And then maybe you can find the patterns there. And then you can say, okay, it's the third Thursday. That's when all the people that like my subject matter are really looking for a new book. You know, and
I wish it were that straightforward.
Well, there's times it is, you know. I mean, you know, we have things where we're like, okay, we know that all the Halloween sales need to be in the warehouse in September so that they can be in the stores in time for those stores to feel comfortable about, you know, making and filling their order and our ability to do that. And, you know, and so then they don't go elsewhere when next year rolls around because we borked it. Things like that.
And also, like, have fun with metrics. If it's mm-hmm. not, I mean, you know.
And like all things, your job as a metrician is to figure things out that other people didn't figure out. Mm-hmm. You know, and really it comes down to being like, so all of our greatest successes were because we, you know, we like didn't invent things, but we perfected things that other people had, you know, planted a seed around.
And know. I really appreciate also, like, when there are times, like, when somebody, one or another of us, like, gets nervous or worried about something or starts to have a bad feeling or is like, I really am worried that sales on this book are tanking, we can then go look at the metrics on those sales and see if that's actually true. And yeah. Often it isn't.
Yeah.
Like, because, yeah. So, you know, reassuring your anxiety rather than boosting your anxiety is the best use of metrics.
Right. And so what happens a lot, like we talked about on previous episodes, is when you sell in a book, there will be quite a few copies sitting in wholesaler warehouses and in stores and, you know, in various other stopgap places. And so it'll feel like you just have had some really slow weeks or months or whatever. And you know, and that normally leads to feelings of anxiety where you're like, oh, it's over. The book is dead. Nobody wants my stuff anymore. And then, you know, like a month after that, you get all the restock orders and you're like, huh, that's so strange that all of these people suddenly, like, I wonder what happened. And like what happened isn't any major event. It's just that everybody buys a 90-day supply, and then so they all run out after 90 days. You know, and then, you know, like, maybe not everybody reorders, but it certainly feels like everybody's reordering.
So, yeah, metrics, they're our friend. They could be your friend, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't let them be your enemy.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm.
On Facebook at microcosm publishing.
On Instagram at microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.